For the next 10 weeks, we're going to be talking about what God says we men are supposed to be. So I thought we could start this morning by giving you an opportunity to describe what you think the ultimate male is. So I would like you to take about no more than 3 to 5 minutes this morning and to break up into groups, and I don't care how large the groups are, how small the groups are, but of guys only and girls only, and write out a quick paragraph on what you think the ultimate man is. And we want you to write this down because we're going to collect it. And the only thing that we want as a title is we want you to say this is a girls' group or a guys' group. And again, we're going to collect these. And so we want you to go ahead and take about 3 minutes. And you're going to have to write fast and think fast, okay, and get warmed up. But guys only and girls only groups. Please don't leave. Go ahead right now. Begin. Okay, go ahead. Why don't you stand up and read as loud as you possibly can. Tell us what the ultimate man is.
Okay, he's a leader, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Sensitive, independent, but dependent on the Lord. Strength under control, godly, cheerful, content, an encourager, disciplined, self-motivated, a thinker, a man of prayer, purpose, flexible, winsome, witty, self-control, pure, man of the word, gentleman, chivalrous, an ambassador, an evangelist, love for the lost, reproducer of reproducers, and seeks God.
They're sitting all around you. I just want you to know that. Yes, right back there.
Yeah, this is kind of powerful, character. Those knows the word of God. Leader, gentle, sober-minded, temperate, not possessive, humble, patient and understanding, teachable, aspires to be an elder, servant, rejoices in birth, toast, and drives a truck.
Kevin?
The ultimate man is the one who fully surrenders himself in all aspects of his life to the ultimate goal of being like Jesus Christ. He is committed to doing God's will in obedience. He's committed to the kingdom program, to being a sacrificial servant, and discharges faithfully all spiritual duties, such as spiritual leader, husband, father, son, brother.
Right. Right back here.
Strong commitment to the Lord, strong leader, and yet compassionate to the provider. He's strong enough to center himself on others, not himself. He's courteous, polite, and recognizes and develops his own weaknesses and his own strengths.
Right. Kim?
A man of conviction, a man of courage, consideration, caring, cleanse, confident, chivalrous.
Make that sound like a C. Come on.
Content, challenging, and Christ-like.
Fred Varshaw would be proud. Ray?
Knows it, studies it, lives it, shares it. He treats the ultimate female with respect, not lording it over her. His reputation is he's above reproach.
Great. How about you gals? How about you gals? Wait. Okay. No. Thanks. Go ahead. Listen up carefully, man.
Communicator, tall, family.
I want to know what the mean height of this row of guys is. Okay. Julie, would you like to finish? Go ahead.
Responsible, honest, consistent, sensitive, patient, understanding, teachable.
I think we appreciate your inflection there, right?
Beyond reproach, pure motives, firmly grounded in the word, humble. Loving, witty, and loving my mom.
Cindy?
Challenges me spiritually, a spiritual leader, a godly man and continuing to grow, someone who's involved in the ministry, not in a pastorate, but just involved, someone who has a sense of humor, sensitive, loyal, devoted to her, someone who's intelligent, self-assured, and available.
Sign-ups are our thing. That's great. Anyone else? Cindy.
Our man was a prayer warrior, spiritual leader, sensible, sensitive, well-balanced, gentle yet bold, humble, receptive, teachable, self-controlled, burning zeal and desire for the Lord, kind, romantic, self-sacrificing, giving, good with kids, deep life with kids, ambitious sense of humor, first love is Christ, faithful, committed, gives and takes instructions.
Yes, go ahead.
This is our version of Proverbs 32. Puts God first before girls or cars or anything. Gentleman, sensitive, creative, it has integrity, it's doctrinally sound, fidelity, faithful. Sensible is a leader and has leadership qualities, both spiritually, financially, emotionally, all that stuff. Is loyal, not prejudiced, is a good friend, is patient, respectable, has a sense of humor, totally into the Word of God, is a good communicator, is vulnerable, self-control, is hardworking and responsible, he's wise, concerned about his health, that is noticeably healthy. and is a man of prayer.
Great. That's incredible. What we'd like you to do is take those and pass them in, would you, to the aisles? Go ahead and pass those in, and then we'll have some guys collect those. It's incredible! I think after all that, it might be difficult to know what the role and goal of a man is. I mean, there's so many things that were described there, I think there might be some confusion on your part. So let me try another experiment. Why don't I have you listen up real carefully, if I can. Let me try another experiment with you. Let's try word association. Okay, I'll call out a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. First think it, and then I'll ask you to share it. All right, so try this. Ready? Here's the word. The first thing that comes in your mind, think it, and then we'll have you share it. Ready? Macho. What's the first thing? What? People, raise their hand. Yes.
Burrito.
Burrito? Burrito. Burrito. Okay. Somebody get that guy some noggle certificates. Yeah.
Cigar.
Okay. What else?
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. Yes.
Coward.
A coward and too much cologne. Okay. Here's another one. Ready? Man.
Woman.
Yes. Woman. What was that over there?
Quiche.
Okay. Yes.
Companion.
Thank you. Yes. Friend. Okay, here it is, number three. Think. Masculine. Okay. Feminine, what?
Dad.
Okay. Yes. Sensitive? Yes. Gentle?
Leader?
Authority? Rambo? Help us. Conan? Yeah. Go ahead.
Strong?
Quiet strength. Here's the last one. Manliness. Manliness. I heard something over here. Irish Spring. But God is like it too. You know what's amazing to me about men in our society? today is that they're confused exactly what they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to act. 5 years ago on our college campuses and our universities, there wasn't one single class on men or manhood. Now, one magazine tells us that there are over 100 classes on being a man, how to be a man, how to maintain manliness, and all that kind of stuff. Even Christian men wonder, how can we be a real man? I mean, a real man. How can we be like the great men of the faith, like C.T. Studd or C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, B. Zimmer, C.C. Mueller, you know, all those kind of things. I mean, what is it when David said to Solomon in 1 Kings 2:2, he says, "Be strong, therefore, my son, and show yourself a man. Be a man." Or what does God want when he says the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart? Or in Jeremiah, he says, "I looked and behold, there was no man, yet there was many men," but he was looking for a particular type of man. He says in Jeremiah also, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see if you can find a man that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." And then Ezekiel, he says, "I search for a man who should stand in the gap before me in the land." Even more intimidating to us men is Paul's command in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And look there for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And as you turn there, I want to ask you a favor. And I know you're going to have to do two things at once, but I want you to do this. I want you to begin to imagine something that I want to describe in your mind. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, imagine this. Imagine the toughest cowboy that you've ever dreamed of, hands ready to draw his guns, eyes sharp and stern. In fact, the camera even gives you a close-up of his eyes as he's looking down the street. His legs are kind of broad, spread, and planted in the middle of a western town. And he's ready to defend his family. To a degree, what you've just imagined there is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says this, "Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like what? Men. Be strong." Be on the alert is a continual command. It's something that's to be done all the time, to stay awake and watch out with quick and stern eyes. Stand firm is to stand once for Christ or remain in the broad, unmovable stance. Be strong is to be resolute to do what is right, and to act like men is a command that every Christian male is to continually apply to himself. Why? So that he can behave in a manly and masculine manner. That's what it means. But again, we come back to the basic question that we started with this morning. What does manliness mean? What does masculinity mean? What is a Christian man really supposed to be? What does God require of us? And how is it that a male can be truly masculine by God's standard, not by the world's standard? Like I said earlier, to answer that, we'll not only look at the scriptures, but we're going to spend about 10 weeks doing it. We spend about 11 weeks dealing with the women, and we'll spend at least 10 dealing with the men. Next week, looking at the controversial role of man. What is it to be in the headship? What does that really mean? Then the following week, to talk about the duty of the young man, which includes all of us in this room for the most part. What are we as young men particularly supposed to be and do? And then the following week after that, to talk about the goal of the young men. The goal of the young men. What are we supposed to strive after? And then followed by some Q&A time with some of the key men at Grace Church. And then for the weeks that follow that, to really examine in detail the qualities of the young man listed in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. But today I want to introduce our series by briefly examining the three missing elements of true manhood. The three missing adjectives that describe men. After looking at every adjective in the entire Bible that described a man, I discovered that three of the major adjectives used mainly in the Old Testament that describe a man are missing in today's men. They're missing. for the most part, in what really is supposed to be a man today, a Christian man specifically. Without these qualities, without these three essential qualities, a man is like a yuppie without a day runner, or a surfer without a tan, or Aunt Jemima's pancakes without the syrup, or a car without gas, or a bomb without any explosives inside. Without these three essential ingredients or elements or qualities in a man's life, this man will never ever reach his potential. He will never lead properly in a relationship with other men, with a girlfriend or a wife. And without them, he will not have any real significant impact for the kingdom of God. What are these three missing adjectives of today's men? Might, strength, and courage. Might, strength, and courage. Let's look at the first one. To be a true man, one must pursue being a mighty man, a man of great deeds, a man of great deeds. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you would, as you're writing that down. 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. And let's look at some of the mighty men of old. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And as we do this very briefly this morning, let's discover some key principles of what a mighty man is and what a man who is mighty, a man who is strong, and a man who is courageous. And while you're turning there, note the fact that the root for the word mighty comes from something that means to rise up, and has in its idea the idea of a valiant warrior, one who has the power of a horse and the strength of a crocodile. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20, it's in the context of listing David's mighty men. And it says this: Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of valiant men of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, killed two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. Now, interesting thing about that, we look at that, we go, huh, you know, what a stupid thing to do. Why jump in the middle of a pit? But what he's describing here is he's describing a man of great courage, a man of great might. Not only did he kill two enemy warriors of the nation of Israel, two mighty enemies, but he also, to warm up on a snowy day, which is very slippery, decided he'd jump in a trap where they trap lions into, and jumped into that trap and killed the lion with his bare hands. You know, hey, no big deal. The interesting thing about this is a heroic time in Israel. And so they would describe the men and their character by listing the deeds that they did. And so therefore, a mighty man is one who with physical strength and wisdom accomplishes great deeds. Accomplishes great deeds. Now, if you were to tune over to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and you can do that if you want, or just kind of listen. He's also talking about the mighty men who served King David, and he says in verse 15 of 1 Chronicles 11, Now three of the 30 mighty men went down to the rock to David, the cave of Adullam, where he was there, while the army of the Philistines was camping in the valley. And then verse 17, And David had a craving. You ever had a craving? Just had to have something like ice cream or chocolate, that kind of thing. David had a craving, and he said, Oh, that someone would give me the water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Just a craving, kind of a little wish off to the side. These three mighty men hear the wish, hear the craving, and responding to a mere wish, these three mighty men battled an entire army. Yes, the entire Philistine army broke through their ranks, got to the well, and got some of the water, and returned it, fought their way out of the army, and returned and gave it to David, just for the craving of the king that they served. Which shows us that a mighty man is one who seeks to please his king. Seeks to please his king, no matter what the cost, and no matter what the king requested, whether he requested it done or left it unspoken. And also a mighty man is one who is consumed with how great and mighty his God is. Psalm 145 says, They shall speak of thy glory in thy kingdom and talk of thy power, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Job said, With him, speaking of God, are wisdom and might. And Isaiah said, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, and what? Mighty God. A mighty man is one who is consumed with imitating the only true mighty one. And since his God is mighty and does mighty deeds, he wishes to be the same, to be a mighty man and to do mighty deeds. But practically, what does being a mighty man mean? Practically, what does that mean? Let me give you a grocery list. You can write things down that kind of speak to you, but don't try and get them all down. But just let me kind of read through some descriptions, just following through what the scripture uses as a description of a mighty man and what a mighty man does. Let me describe it to you. Just listen to it. It says, a mighty man is described by words like powerful, able, virtuous, valiant, extraordinary, vigorous, impressive, dynamic, honorable, reputable, and faithful. A mighty man is not hindered by his body, but it is his faithful tool used in service for his king. He is a total man. His body does not slow him down. A mighty man seeks to do great deeds for his king, no matter what the price. He longs to make his dreams for his king and kingdom come true, and he works to make them a reality. A mighty man is known for his desire, zeal, ability, steadfastness, and loyalty. A mighty man wants to wear out, not rust out. A mighty man is not a man of might because of his personality, but because of his character. A mighty man knows where he is going and how he will be used by God, how he will be used by God, and he has a clear direction, not uncertainty. A mighty man pursues greater time and more personal time with his king. His true might is found not in his own strength, but in the strength of the mighty one, God himself. He also looks for other mighty men to fight battles with. He is not a prima donna, nor does he build relationships with those who are complacent. He speaks with authority and lives with authority, his source being the words, commands, and promises of his king. He's a man of the word. He obeys the greatest and simplest commands as a professional, not an amateur. He doesn't approach it as someone who doesn't know what he's doing or doesn't really want to do what the commands are. He does them as someone who zealously goes after doing what his king wants him to do. He is a man of great deeds. He attempts great things for his king and expects great things from his king. Simply then, how can you tell a mighty man from an ordinary man? How can you be a truly mighty man? Well, easy. Four simple points. You can write them down. They're real easy to remember. First, he sees big. He sees big. He dreams big dreams. He plans big plans, not for himself, but for his king and his kingdom, for Jesus Christ and his purpose on this planet. And then he works daily to accomplish those dreams and to see them brought into reality. He sees big. He believes, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Let me ask you a question. What dreams, what deeds, men, do you dream of accomplishing for your king? Are you a mighty man? Second, he speaks out. He speaks out. He's not just lives his testimony, is content to kind of be a light, a kind of unspoken light while people find their way into hell. He's one who speaks out, first with the good news, the gospel, secondly with the word to encourage the saints, and then he also speaks against injustice. He speaks against false religion and sin, first in his own life and then in others. You know, right now, some of you may not realize this, but we are in for a fight. We are in for a battle, not just this group, not just what God is doing in this group, but outside of this group on the campuses in which we will be reaching out to. I want you to know right now that the Muslim faith has poured millions and millions of dollars in order to take over the University of Southern California. They're going to buy up every ounce of property around that school and make it their America Mecca. We have information which they have produced and which they have money behind and which they're going to turn that. And the guys and the gals that are working on that campus, they're in for a battle. Because they know enough to know as they list in their literature about this whole strategy of taking over that campus that we, the evangelical community, are their enemies. Now there's two responses. Oh no, or let's get him. Where are you? Are you a mighty man? Are you up for a fight? Are you willing to stand for your faith? Are you willing to speak out? Thirdly, he seeks purity. He seeks purity. Wishing to maintain a reputation that would please his king, he seeks purity. He doesn't tolerate or toy with his greatest enemy, which is sin. Let me evaluate, or let you evaluate your own life as I have to evaluate my life right now in this statement. But a mighty man as a Christian confesses his sin. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you confessed your sin? Is that something that you do daily, or do you do it when you're convicted? Or when someone shares something with you that pierces your heart? Because a mighty man deals with sin. He seeks to be pure. And fourthly, he stays close. He stays close to the king through frequent conversation, meditation upon the king's word, memorizing his commands. In other words, there'll be no ministry and no influence without great dependency for the mighty man. Yes, he is independent, but he's independently dependent upon the mighty one. That's the mighty man. He's the opposite of what our culture says a macho man is to be. He's the exact opposite. Our culture tells us be independent, be aloof, and need no one. The Bible tells us that you desperately need one person over and above any person, and that's Jesus Christ. And you're not afraid to admit that. Men, are you a mighty man? Are you a mighty man? And women, are you restricting your commitments only to mighty men? Or will you commit yourself to any man that shows you attention? Any man. Young women, watch out for the man who runs on his own power. Watch out for the man who is not dependent. He says he is, but he's not, because it shows in his lifestyle. Evaluate a man only by what he does, not what he says, not the promises that he makes, but only by what he does. How hard does he work to keep his life dependent upon Christ? How stable is he, or is he impetuous, emotional, and unstable? Watch out for the man with fancy words, big promises, lots of time, but he doesn't live his faith. There's no deeds, there's no ministry, there's no action. Don't listen to a man who lives contrary to the Word of God. Don't listen to a man who doesn't do the Word of God. A mighty man is a man of righteous deeds. We had a gal about a year and a half ago at our church who described her potential spouse this way. She's 22 years old. He is strong, he loves God and has a strong love for God. He has a belief in and is very dependent upon the Lord. He has a strong moral character. He has the ability to execute good judgment and good decisions. He's honest, and I respect him tremendously. Yet while she was making this description, and for months beforehand, they were not only sleeping together but then living together. And they both knew that it was an affront to a holy God. That gal knows nothing of what a strong character, of what true love for God, of what ability to execute good judgment and good decisions is all about. She doesn't have a clue. And the reason is because she confused what he said with what he did. Second description of a true man in the Bible that is missing today is to be a strong man. A strong man. A man of great character. And I'm going to fly through these next two, so hang with me. When the Bible calls a man strong, it means that he is tough, sure, steadfast, fastened, and one who prevails. It is one who has resources to draw from. One who is able to endure stress and pain. He is zealous and determined in spirit. He is the opposite of being weak, unstable, insecure, and tottering. Practically then, what is a strong man? He is a man of convictions. He is an impregnable fortress of truth. Like David, when he saw Goliath challenging the armies of Israel, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He wouldn't stand for Goliath being an affront to the armies of Israel. A strong man values truth over friendships. He values truth over pleasure and acceptance. He is a man of the word, again. Secondly, a strong man is a man of responsibility. Like Daniel in his governmental job, in fact, when Daniel was about to be elevated to the number one man over the Medo-Persian Empire, over all the other chief men in the government and the Persian and Mede men, those men spied on him. They followed him. And they tried to find some sort of secret sin, some sort of compromise on the part of Daniel, and so they could bring some sort of accusation against him. But it says in Daniel 6:4 that they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch he was faithful with no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. There was no cheating, no sloppy work, nothing. Daniel was responsible. He is described as a strong man in Scripture. And the strong man is one who can work hard. The strong man is one who can hold a job. Listen to this, gals. A strong man is one who can save money. A strong man is one who can advance in business, maintain a great testimony at work, and also please and be liked by his boss. That's a strong man because he's responsible. Thirdly, a strong man is a man of zeal. A strong man is one who's sold out to the master's cause, and is one who radiates the heat of commitment. When you're around a strong man and when he talks about his relationship with the Lord, you're automatically convicted. And that's all he wants to talk about. That's a strong man, a man of character. How does one become a strong man? Simply, Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait for the Lord will gain what? New strength. He's a man of worship. In order to be a strong man, he must be a man of worship. A man who daily faces his King, faces his God, has a relationship with him. He waits on the Lord. He's filled with the Spirit. He's filled with God's Word, and that makes him a strong man. And as a result, he can fight spiritual warfare. You know, I really believe this, that if you are not in the battle, and you're not fighting for the testimony of Jesus Christ in some way, you're not really a man according to the Word of God, the kind of standard that God has laid out for His men. You know, are you the type of person that fights to have a quiet time? Are you the one that is out in the battle in such a way that you come home and that's all you want to do is fall on your knees and pray to your God? There's a big difference between those two. Think about it. Are you one that has to work up discipline to have a quiet time? Are you so desperate in need of a relationship with God because you've taken some arrows, you've taken some heat, that you fall on your knees and plead that you might be strong enough to withstand the battle that you're in? A strong man will live out his faith. A strong man will serve in ministry. He won't let his circumstances affect him, and he won't let personal weakness overcome him. Are you a strong man, or are you a routine man, a regular man, an average man? And women, this may be harsh but true, do you invest time and pursue a relationship with an irresponsible man with no convictions and no zeal? And if you do, I believe that you are playing the role of the fool. And if you find yourself in a relationship with a guy who is irresponsible, has no conviction, no zeal for Jesus Christ, then you're playing the role of a worse fool. If you don't do anything about it, if you don't say something or you don't back out. Gals, stay away from men who can't hold a job. I mean that sincerely. Stay away from a guy who won't stand for the truth. Stay away from a guy who won't be faithful to a ministry. Avoid boys, because that's what they are, who are unstable, insecure. You may overlook it now, but if you get married to a gentleman like that, it may drive you to divorce. Grow in love and build friendships with those men who seek a consistent direction before the Lord, who are not continually changing their mind or can't make up their mind, but they are men who live after the book, and they're so committed to that book that they fear veering from it. Number three, a biblical man must be a man of courage. A man of courage. A man with a godly attitude. To be a courageous man, that means to have the mental and moral strength to venture, persevere, and to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. A courageous man is described as a man of bravery, valor, boldness, firmness, gallantry, and daring. He is one who lives out, not in the absence of fear, but he has learned to master that fear. Like the little boy who was sitting in the dentist chair, and the dentist said to him, said, "Son, be a brave little man." And he looked up at his dentist. He says, "I'm not a brave little man, I'm a scared little boy." And the man of courage is the one who, yes, he's a scared little boy, but he doesn't let the scared little boy dictate what he does. He's learned to control the fear, even though the fear exists. What does a man of courage do? And how does he become a man of courage? Well, if he's courageous, it causes him to fight battles when defeat seems certain. Like the French general wrote to his fellow general during World War I, he said, My right is broken, my left is shattered, my center is in retreat, the situation is excellent, let us attack. Like Paul, who had that philosophy, I don't know if you read his epistles, and you get the idea that Paul says, "I cannot die." That's his mentality. Paul seemed to communicate the idea that it didn't matter. His eternal security was absolutely in the Lord Jesus' hands. He was totally immovable, and he just went. It didn't matter if they were going to stone him, if they were going to follow him from city to city. He just went and proclaimed. It also causes him to do what is right in spite of severe consequences, like Jesus did in going to Jerusalem and then ultimately to the cross. A man of courage causes him, and courage causes him to speak out against wrongdoing when necessary, even though it's risky, like Paul rebuking Peter in front of all the Jews. A man of courage, and courage causes a man to stay close to his God even when it may cost everything, like Daniel, who prayed even though it meant the lion's den. As a result, the courageous man and the man of courage will be calm in difficulty, patient with tough circumstances, and confident in Christ. That's a man of courage, according to the scripture. Are you a man of courage? And women, that means to find a courageous man, you are to avoid the complainer, the quitter, the whiner. Above all, avoid the blamer, the panic-stricken, and the impatient man. No real man, no man of courage, continually complains, quits, whines, blames, is panic-stricken, or is impatient. Those are not the tendencies or the characteristics of a man of courage. Courage comes to a man who knows God is with him. Strength comes to a man who depends on God daily and moment by moment. And might comes to a man who believes great things from God. And all these come to a man who seeks God through his word. Men, it all starts with him and his word. And no amount of talking about what a man should be is ever going to change you unless you become a man of the book. In his book, The Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football, Paul Zimmerman quotes a physicist who made an incredible discovery. The man had the facts to prove that when a 240-pound lineman, capable of running 100 yards in 11 seconds, when that particular man collides with a 240-pound running back, capable of running the same distance, 100 yards in 10 seconds, the resultant kinetic energy is enough to move 66,000 pounds, or 33 tons, 1 inch. That helps explain why some players stagger about on the field mumbling to themselves after having their bell rung during a collision. The likelihood is that they have been hit on the helmet by a blow approaching somewhere between 1,000 Gs. That's 1,000 times the force of gravity. Just to put that in perspective, astronauts take their takeoff experience is approximately 10 Gs. Pilots tend to black out at about 20 Gs. And the Sport Week magazine in Toronto that stated that test run on Detroit Lions linebacker Joe Schmidt reported that he showed he had to cope with blows that registered about 5,780 Gs. That's incredible. The incredible impact, power, and force that they have to put up with physically. When it's all said and done, the only man who will ever have any sort of spiritual impact, spiritual force, spiritual ministry, and spiritual power, the only one who will be used To move the unmovable and see the impossible will be the man that pursues biblical might, courage, and strength. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so grateful that your word has so many high challenges for us. Help us to begin to rethink as men what we are supposed to be as men, what you want us to be. Help us to be the kind of men that can be world busters. Help us to be the kind of men that can lead the way that you would have us to lead. Move us and convict us to be men of might, men who wish to accomplish great things for your kingdom. We don't dream of cars. We don't dream of fame or fortune. We dream of being used by you. Help us to be men of strength, men of character, men who depend on you, who are bold enough to speak out. Help us to be men of courage, men who are not afraid, even though the circumstances may look bad. Father, we pray this so that your kingdom might be advanced and you might be pleased. In Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.